wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There are ladies, things that mix and special. Welcome to the big show. We certainly appreciate you guys being here. As always, we bring you the most smartest minds, the most brilliant people. And, of course, none of them are me. That's why we have guests on the show, because I'm the idiot with a mic. But for 16 years, we really appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Refer the show to your family, friends, and relatives, or else. No, I'm just kidding. I'm threatening my audience at this point with violence. Go to goodreads.com/ChrisVoss, linkedin.com/ChrisVoss, ChrisVoss1 on the TikTokity, and ChrisVossFacebook.com on all those crazy places. We have an amazing gentleman who's going to share his life journey, thoughts, and lessons on the show with us. Andrew Beaulieu is on the show with us today. He'll be talking to us about his insights. He is currently the CEO and founder of Bold Moves Coaching and Consulting, and he's got an interesting history. He was the former vice president and servant leader of his family-owned general contracting business in Montreal, Quebec. That's in Canada, by the way, just in case you get confused. He discovered his passion for leadership and employee empowerment throughout his corporate journey. He was inspired by his experiences working with others, and he made the bold transition from construction to becoming a coach, public speaker, CEO, and founder of Bold Moves Consulting and Coaching. Today, he is passionately committed to sparking transformation in corporate environments with a focus on the end user, the employee. He collaborates closely with executives, leaders, and mid-level managers, fostering impact and sustainable change from the top down. Welcome to the show, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm extremely excited to be here.
We're extremely excited to have you, if I can learn to pronunciate stuff today. Give us a .coms or .cas, I think this would be for Canada, where people can find you on the interwebs.
Yeah, absolutely. My landing page is www.boldmovescoaching.ca. And from there, you'll see the services that I offer. There's ways to get in touch with me on that as well, and access to my social media accounts.
There you go. So give us a 30,000 overview of what you do there at your website.
Yeah, so really my Bold Moves Coaching is, it's ironic because most people believe bold moves are big moves, right? Like a career transition or leaving a relationship. And really the bold move is the small moves, which is getting in touch with who we are as individuals and living into our most fulfilled and empowered life. And what we do is I focus a lot in the corporate world because we spend, believe it or not, a third of our life working. And so there's a lot that transpires there. And with everything that's going on in corporate America, corporate environments, people unhappy, not engaged, always on the look for the new and best thing, I'm focusing my efforts there so people can be happier in their lives and in their work.
There you go. Now, what is this one-third work thing you're talking about? I've owned companies since I was 18, and we work 24/7 as entrepreneurs. What's this one-third that you're talking about?
That must be the people who enjoy what they do, and it doesn't feel like work. You must be talking to those people.
Yeah. I mean, I love what I do, and I enjoy that. And I love interviewing wonderful people and getting to hear their stories and learning lessons and different paradigm shifts, et cetera, et cetera. So I love it, but it's still 24/7. You dream business. It's like insane. You lay at night and you're thinking, you know, instead of thinking, I don't know, sitting on a beach somewhere in Bermuda, you're sitting there thinking, who am I going to fire tomorrow? So tell us a little bit about your story, your upbringing. It sounds like you've been in some entrepreneur positions or CEO positions. Tell us about your journey through life.
Yeah. So my father was the founder and partner of a general contracting company here out of Canada as a retail specialist that does interior fit-ups or retail spaces across Canada. And it's 30 years this year. I never really wanted to join the family business when I was younger, but when I finished college and didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, I wanted to make some money, went to work for my dad for the summer. I was there 16 years. It was a quick pit stop. Started as an administrative assistant, pushing around papers, applying for permits, helping people out in a support role, quickly got transferred into our 24/7 maintenance department, servicing all our clients post-construction with all their maintenance issues that you could possibly imagine. I mean, from women being locked in fitting rooms and employees going to buy an axe next door to knock open the door to pigeons in the store to leaks at 3 a.m. or broken windows. We dealt with it all. And I did that portion for about 10 years. I became the manager of that department at 23. So I started the company when I was 20.
Wow.
By 23, I was the manager of my own team. There was only one other individual at that time, but I grew that team to be 14 other direct reports under me over my span as manager there. Ended up acquiring a second department, which was our special projects department, which was really anything that didn't have a set of drawings. You know, clients who draw things on a napkin, say, build this for me. Mm-hmm. Those are the type of clients I was dreaming of. If they can think of it, I would build it. Mm-hmm. And so I acquired that department. So a lot of creativity, project management, critical thinking, problem solving, all these amazing skills that I learned during that time. And at this point, my father was looking towards his retirement, and he was 10 years senior from his partner. And his partner didn't want to buy his 50%. So he looked at me and my two other brothers who worked in the company in different divisions. We were kind of sprinkled throughout the company. Mm-hmm. It was about 70 employees overall in the company. So there was plenty of space. And he looked at us and said, do you guys want it? And we looked at each other. We kind of said, yeah, let's do it. Why not? It seems like the logical next step, right? Uh-huh. And so my father took his retirement in 2019. We took then the owner-operator role and went right into the pandemic. Our first year as owners was 2020, right into the pandemic, which came with its fair share of challenges. But really, my role was specifically taking over the administration, finance, and human resources of the business, working with that side of the team, which was really my dad's role himself. And the numbers tell the story. So I got to learn a lot about the back end of business, the administration, and the finance. And I didn't go to school for it. I'm not an accountant by any stretch of the imagination. I took some courses, but for the most part, I was learned by working closely with our financial controller and our accountants and asking the right questions and learning my way through it. But all throughout these 16 years that I was with the business, there was only one thing that really I felt fulfilled with and passionate about, and that was working with my team and working with our trades and our clients. I'm a people person. The construction was always just there. I was never passionate about it. Again, I didn't want to go into the family business, but because I was good at what I did, it felt like that's what I should be doing. And I realized because of the pandemic, being at home with my two daughters, I have a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old today, go back 4 years, much younger, that I was missing way too much. I was only catching the big things of their lives. I wasn't catching all the small things. And it's the small things that really mattered to me. And so I reflected over the pandemic with my wife and said, look, I'm not passionate about construction, but I love working with people. What can I do? I had my own coach. I had my own life coach. And so I reached out to her and we worked on career counseling and exploring different avenues. And I said, you know what? I really appreciate what you were able to do for me. And I'd love to have an opportunity to do that for somebody else. What about coaching? Mm-hmm. And so she said, well, let's give it a shot. So I went down the road, got my certification in coaching while still working in the family business. I gave them 2 years notice. So I gave them a 2 years heads up to get the company in good place, get my legacy, keep my legacy intact, and to be able to build my business while I was handing over the reins. And that's it. In November of 2023, I was my last day in the family business, and I've been full efforts on Bold Moves Coaching since.
There you go. Congratulations. It's probably a big leap. It's a little scary to make that leap at first.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. I have not had a moment of apprehension or look back and say, did I make the right decision? I know in my heart, because I sat with it and I did a lot of coaching of my own, I came to terms with my values and what I want out of life, that I knew it was time for me to leave the business. And I'm bringing that experience with me, which is great. That 16 years definitely transfers over. But it was time for me to explore other things. When I look at 30 years from now, when I'm retiring, you know, at that point in my life, I want to look back and say, I tried so many different things and I lived so many different lives and met really interesting people. I didn't want to have the next 30 years of my life paved in front of me, which it pretty much was. I knew what the next 30 years looked like working with a family business, and I didn't want that for myself.
There you go. You know, you take on your own rudder. You take on your own destiny. And it sounds like you needed to find that where you could map your own life and do things your way. You know, my first company was a construction business, and it was a nice start, but man, that business is hard sometimes.
It never stops. It's a beautiful business. There's always something to do. There's great challenges. But so you don't get to stop and celebrate anything because the next headache's waiting for you just around the corner. Yeah.
Welcome to being an entrepreneur. It's so great. So what are some of the things you help here with people on your website? I can see that you do some different things like life coaching, career transition, and corporate programs. Flesh some of that out for us, if you would.
Yeah, so it's all about the end user, which is the individual. So whether life coaching, career transition coaching, or working in the corporate environments, my purpose, my goal is to allow people to be as fulfilled in their life as a whole as possible. I'm looking at the ensemble, right? And the life coaching, you get to work with people through positive mindsets, behavior changes, mindset, and the career transitions. There's a lot of people who, kind of like myself, fell into a career path and have stuck with it for so long, but they're not getting that fulfillment from it. Doesn't mean they're unhappy. It just means they're not quite getting energized, right, and feeling that that's where they should be. So I'm working with individuals who are still kind of soul searching and figure out what they want to do with their life. Mm-hmm. And on the corporate side, like I mentioned when we started, there's just such a need for that right now. Corporate environments are struggling. There's with the Gen Zs coming up, they want something new. The current leaders, executives aren't quite sure how to handle them. There's especially post-pandemic, there's so much a need for a shift in our corporate workplaces. And so part of what I'm doing in that environment is I'm bringing in, it's all on the basis of communication, right? I'm a strong believer that the majority of our problems are in some sort of breakdown in communication, lack thereof, misunderstanding, misinterpretation, yeah. Didn't use the right form of communication, what have you. And so part of what I'm doing is I'm bringing this concept of bringing vulnerability into the workplace. Mm. Vulnerability is the basis of trust. And so if we allow our employees to come into our workplace, and I say employees, but it includes executives who are employees of their own organizations by all right, by bringing this aspect of vulnerability into the workspace and allowing them to, you know, not leave work home at home and work at work, which is my father's generation did that, blending it because we're human. We come to work as we are. We show up the way we are. And to be able to normalize talking about how we're currently being in our life, mm-hmm. And that is going to create a bound of trust, and that's going to lead conversations that can only enhance and develop people. So I'll give you an example. If someone's really struggling at home right now because they're not sleeping well, they're not eating well, they're not because they're stressed from work. I want someone to be able to feel comfortable to come to work and have that conversation with me, mm-hmm. Without feeling shame, without feeling there's going to be judgment, there's going to be consequence. You know, they're going to think I'm going on burnout, which is, you know, a word nobody wants to hear. Let's normalize the conversation so that we can find solutions together, and not necessarily the supervisor or the peer telling you what you need to go do, using a coach approach, mm-hmm. to figure out what should you do for yourself to get through this hurdle.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that we work mostly with our colleagues, we're with our colleagues sometimes more than we are with our own families. These are the right people to help you through where you're at in life right now.
Most definitely. And a lot of people with COVID, they did what you did. They reanalyzed, you know, we reanalyzed and reformatted the podcast during COVID because we just felt like it wasn't serving the broader community of the world. We were just mostly talking about business and Silicon Valley crap, which is impertinent, but it just seemed, in spite of what was going on with COVID, it just seemed really narrow and shallow at the time. Maybe it still seems narrow and, you know, sitting around trying to figure out what Apple and Google are, like, who gives a shit, really, in the bigger picture of things. And so a lot of people went through that, and I think a lot of people are still doing that. They really took a hard look at their lives. They took a look at their work, and they said, do I really like doing this? Like, why am I doing this? And, you know, they had time to ask those questions. And then a lot of people, you know, they enjoy working at home. I get it. I've worked at home since 2004, when my last partner left and I could run everything from multiple states from the house. I've loved it. I mean, I spend time with my dogs. In fact, when COVID happened, everyone's like, we're just going to stay home. I'm like, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. I've been doing this since 2004. You guys are...
Jumping
on my train. Leave me alone. Get off my dick. But, you know, a lot of people, they realize that, you know, family life, they're missing, you know, the work-life balance, I guess you could call it. And, you know, you realize how much time you waste in traffic. driving to and from work. I mean, some people, if you live in LA or New York City or, you know, big cities, you know, you spend 4 hours a day, 2 hours back and forth in traffic away from your family, you know, you just realize. And I've often wondered for years, like, I would even tell people that when they call me to speak, I'm like, you know, you could save a lot of money if you just let me dial in on Zoom and speak, because you know, number one, you have to pay me for what I call the pants fee, where I have to wear pants and show up at a place. You know, I have to do the suit thing. But, you know, then you're also paying me a TSA pain in the ass fee. That's one of my speaking fees, because I hate flying. I mean, I love flying. The flying part I love. But the TSA, the dealing with, you know, I don't know, the transients on the bus in a tube flying through the sky sometimes gets annoying. Fortunately, I never had anybody throw a fit on a plane that gets locked down, and I would probably beat whoever that was senseless. But, you know, a lot of people analyze their values and stuff. In life coaching, what do you find a lot of people are struggling with nowadays? What are a lot of people reaching out to you for?
It's a behavior change. So a lot of people are dealing with anxiety. This is not new, but it's definitely becoming more normalized to talk about it. The problem that I have with anxiety is that it's a blanket statement. That's a symptom of what you're actually dealing with. And so we work with causality. So we try to establish what exactly is making you feel off and address those, you know, challenges as best as we can. Obviously, there's generalized anxiety and there's medication for it. I'm not talking about those experiences. I'm not a therapist by any stretch of the imagination. But it's working with people who are looking for more positive behaviors. And what people need to recognize with behaviors is there's four elements that lead up to it. So one, your behaviors are established by your habits. Your habits are influenced by your daily routines. And your routines are based on your environment. So the first thing, if you want to change your behavior, you got to look at your environment and make it conducive for your daily routine so that you can adapt a new habit to change your behavior. And there's an evolution, right? And so this is why people who establish New Year's resolutions, often they're trying to go straight for the behavior. I'm going to change my who I am over, you know, the stroke of midnight. And that's not how it works. You know, you got to take a look at your environment and set yourself up for success. And it starts with working on small things to build positive momentum so that you can have sustainable change. You know, it's easy to change. Sustainable change is where people want, and that's where they struggle with the most. So there's a lot of that. It's dealing with their own emotions. You know, people who are avoiding, again, post-pandemic, avoiding going to social functions. They don't want to leave the house. They don't necessarily want to go mingle. They don't want to get out of their house and go for a walk because they're so anxious, but they don't know why. And so there's a lot of that on the life coaching side.
There you go. I like how you mentioned the anxiety is a symptom of something that's deeper and a problem. I remember years ago, I was having panic attacks, and I went in and they go, you have anxiety. And I'm like, yeah. And I also have fear, happiness, depression, and sadness. Like, what the hell? But this is in the early 2000s, 90s, those are the 90s. And, you know, a lot of people didn't talk about it back then. And so I had to worm my way through fixing all that stuff as well. And you know, people, like you mentioned, changing behaviors, we can all do that New Year's Eve resolution thing where, you know, we all make resolutions and we change for like a little bit. But it's the long-term things that really hit the pavement. Like I was yelling and screaming on Facebook all the time for the first 2 months of the year, because all these people are at my gym that I'm just like, they're not going to be here. Like,
exactly.
The end of February. And it was funny. The end of February came in there and I was joking about how I was going to go around to all of them. Just walk up and down the line of treadmills with a giant In-N-Out burger and a shake in my hand. And I'm just like, you should just quit now, because you're going to quit at the end of February. You just quit now. And this is really good. And fortunately, I didn't have to resort to that. But, you know, everyone left. So you're long term.
And we've all done it. I've done it myself, unfortunately. I mean, we have false hope.
But bank on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They're just banking on it. They're like, yeah, we know what's going to happen. They're going to give us all their money, and then they'll forget to cancel the pay for the rest of the year.
Exactly. There's a fundamental. So part of what I'm doing, part of my practice, I try and incorporate neuroscience. So I'm going through neuroscience certifications right now. And, you know, they talk about motivation. And in order to be motivated, you need to be in your executive control network. And to do that, you just have to be in action. towards something. A lot of people try to muster up motivation by thinking about it. And so they're in the default mode network and they're sitting there and they're just saying, wow, I'm not feeling motivated to do anything. Well, it's a misconception. You actually have to get up and do something. And by doing that, your body's going to release dopamine because you're building momentum. So start by making your bed, for example, is a rough example. Make your bed. You're going to succeed at it. When you succeed at it, you get a hit of dopamine and that builds momentum to go to the next thing. So there's some neuroscience that I try to blend into these behavior changes as well. Start with something that you know you're going to be really good at, something you're going to succeed at, and don't try and go for the aim for the fences on your first swing. You know, yeah. Start with something small.
There you go. Because people aim for the fences and go too big, and then when it fails, they're like, well, this isn't going to work. I'll just give up. And, you know, like just like a ship that crosses the water, it's the small little movements back and forth that get you to the dock. You just can't go out there and hit home runs. You know, it takes practice. It's always funny to me that people never understand that to build something of any sort of value or size or scale or worth, really, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of work and practice that takes into it. You know, I'll have people that'll be like, hey, Chris, I want to be like you. I want to be a podcaster. And I'm like, we've been doing it for 15 years, almost 16 years now, and thousands of interviews. So have fun with that.
I'll share a story. When I was starting my family business as an administrative assistant, my French is not very good. Okay, it's functional at best, and that's now. So 16 years ago, it was not as good as it is now. I was tasked with calling cities to apply for building permits. And a lot of these municipalities, they don't speak a lick of English. And I would pick up the phone. They would say, oui, bonjour, you know, can we help you? And I would hang up the phone. Pure shock. I was like, uh-oh. And I would hang up the phone. And that's how I started my career. I ended up being the owner operator of this organization. And I could tell you, I was building relationships left, right, and center. It takes work. You're not going to be great day one at anything you do, whether it be from podcasting to social media content to building a business. Like, everything takes work and practice. So there's the moral of the story is continue to improve. And what I tell my clients is compare yourself to who you were yesterday. It's great to have a vision of who you want to be in 10 years. I believe that's really healthy to kind of, you know, try and materialize that, but be better than you were yesterday. And as long as you're better than you were yesterday,
Yeah. The
person you're going to be in 7 years from now is going to be a phenomenal version of yourself. Because you're just continuously improve.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, one thing you talked about in the corporate programs that you do for your coaching and consulting as well, you mentioned the vulnerability aspect. One of the rules that, I studied Peter, the fifth discipline, I believe it was, and I can never remember either his name or the title of the book. I got to work on that. But he talked about building a learning organization. And he put a workbook after that. And I was a big fan of that in building culture in my companies when I would start them. And one of the rules we had around the office that I made was the only stupid question is the unasked question. Yeah. And the principle behind it was creating an environment and a culture where people wouldn't be shamed or be, you know, oh, you're stupid. You didn't pay attention in training and you don't know how to work a copier or, you know, whatever it was. Or, you know, you don't know how to sell whatever the aspect is of what we're doing. And it made an environment where, hey, if you don't know something, we're not going to call you stupid. We're not going to shame you. We're not going to, you know, you could be vulnerable, like you mentioned. And we wanted you to ask questions because the guy who slept through part of training didn't pay attention, he was the guy who was going to cost me 30 grand and breaking some machine or doing something stupid. You know, 30 grand is a little expensive, but you know, there was always some stupid thing. You know, anytime a client called pissed off because they've been mishandled by a salesperson, it was because the salesperson hadn't followed the way that we would sell stuff and do things, and it usually just hadn't listened to the client. Really simple. And, you know, I mean, I remember we had a mortgage company for 20 years and, you know, the guy would have told him that he wanted a 30-year mortgage and they put him in a 15 and, you know, and you're just like, how did you miss that? So there you go, or vice versa. But, you know, it was always somebody, you know, and I've been guilty of that going through trainings and I'll pay attention and stuff goes by me and I'm like, God damn, I don't know if I should ask about this thing again because people are going to really think I'm dumb and maybe I slept through the whole training. And I think sometimes I did. But we having that environment, that culture where people could ask questions and not be shamed really made a difference in the culture. And it made it so it was open so people could ask questions. And a lot of times we not only explain to them why we do things, or we explain to them not only how to do things, but why we do it. And so they would understand the why behind it, which I think was important in our culture.
It's extremely meaningful. So what you're talking about or touching on is really psychological safety. So they felt safe to come in and ask those questions without fear of judgment. And when you feel safe, then you feel that you can be more authentically yourself. You can be more vulnerable and kind of show, hey, I'm not a perfect human being. I am as I am, and I'm going to do my best.
Yep.
But one of the things that I've learned in the neuroscience part of it is that people want meaning or purpose or impact, you know, insert your synonym here of whatever that word is these days, but without meaning. So to your why, and Simon Sinek does a great job of talking about the why, but until you understand the why and have clear purpose of the why, you're kind of phoning it in. You don't really know what your purpose is. You're just working towards something without the clear understanding of why it is you're doing what you're doing and what role it plays in the bigger picture. I've seen some companies do onboardings where the person gets to experience every position within the company, or at least every department within the company, to have a full 360 of understanding of how the company works. And I've seen people be onboarded just by, you know, you are hired to do this, I'm going to teach you this, and they don't know what everyone else does. Well, who do you think is going to be more productive and more successful long term? It's usually the person who has the bigger picture.
Yep. And the understanding of why things work is so important, because we would explain to them why we built things that way and did things that way, and then they would understand that how our thinking was behind it. But then when they would take and experience the system, whatever it was, they would be able to maybe innovate. So they would come to me and be like, hey, Chris, I know you guys do things this way, but there's actually a better way, and here it is. And having that culture too, where someone could suggest that, made all the difference in the world as well. So, you know, we would see that and just go, okay, there you go. And it was just made for great improvements of everything. What sort of aspects do you look at when you're dealing with career transition? That's always a big deal. You've gone through that now, technically. You help people in that field. Tell us about that.
So the first thing that I tell people when they call me for career transition is, first off, is this an impulsive decision? That's the first thing we want to iron out. You know, if you got an argument with your boss the day before and you say, I'm fucking quitting my job, it's usually, that's an emotional decision. Let's think about that for a quick second. Maybe there's some steps that need to be addressed before that. Mm-hmm. But let's assume in this example that they've thought it through. They say, you know, something's not feeling right. You know, there's a friction point every day and I'm not sure what it is. I'm not feeling that this is for me. I want to explore something new. Mm-hmm. The very first thing is identifying to them who they are as an individual without social expectations of external parties. And that's a challenge, because people have expectations of what you should be. People have expectations on how you should show up. And so you have to kind of quiet all that white noise and say, that, you know, whether it be your family, your friends, a partner, a spouse, whatever it be, what do you want? Who are you at a fundamental level? What are your values? What do you like to do? What makes you happy? And once we have that, now we're able to go to the next thing, which is, what are your options out there? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I'll put them in touch with a career counselor. I'm not a career counselor, but there are psychometric tools that allow you to, based on your likes and your dislikes and your habits and your values, they'll come up with a list of options for you, which is what I did. Even though I suggested I want to go into coaching, I still did the psychometric tools. And guess what? Coaching was number 3 on the list. So it just kind of validated for me that I was heading in the right direction. And what I always go afterwards is the step you take doesn't necessarily have to be the step you live with. So I went into coaching knowing full heartedly, I'm going to give this a try, but if it's not for me, that's okay. I'm going to go down the next road that I see that I feel that feels right. And it happened to be that I landed on it and absolutely loved it. And I knew I loved it because it energizes me and I'm having fun doing it. My days are flying by and I'm making impact and that feels good for me. So it just happened to be that my coaching, my hunch, my psychometric evaluation and my first move worked. But ask me 10 years from now. And that was a question someone asked me last week. Where are you going to be in 10 years? We'll see in 10 years. I don't need to worry about 10 years from now. I need to worry about how I feel today. 10 years, I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea where I'm going to be in 10 years.
And you don't have control either of it.
No. I will be happy in 10 years. How's that? I'm going to continue to be happy.
I love that.
And I'm going to be happy in 10 years.
I love that. I'm going to be, what are you going to do in 10 years, Chris? I'm going to be happy and hopefully healthy.
And usually those two, hopefully those two things are.
I can't, I'm not sure I can control the healthy part. I mean, I can a little bit because, you know, obviously eat well, exercise, but the happy part you can control because, you know, I'm hearkening something from Marcus Aurelius in Meditations, but basically, you know, it's how you perceive life, how you go through life and how you look at the things that happen to you, and you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be unhappy. And it's your choice, really, when it comes down to it. You know, I remember when I turned 50, I complained about, oh, woe is me. Oh, God, I turned 50. And somebody wrote me on Facebook and they go, you know, Chris, maybe you should have a little bit more gratitude and humility because there's a lot of people who really wanted to be 50 and aren't here to be 50. So maybe you should just shut the hell up. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah,
I guess you
check.
Got a point there.
Yeah, reality check. Yeah, for
every
sure.
Day above ground's a good day. So tell people how they can onboard with you, reach out to you. I noticed that on your website, you can book a call. I noticed you have some speaker stuff for speaking as well. Tell people how they can onboard with you and work with you or do a handshake to get to know you better.
Yeah, absolutely. So either through my website, www.boldmovescoaching.ca, there's a section there to reach out to me and contact me. If not, you can also reach out to me on LinkedIn under Andrew Bollier. That's a great way. I'm on LinkedIn every day, so you can just send me a request. I'll be more than happy to connect with you. You know, our conversation is, there's no obligation. It's just a conversation. One of my biggest things about this new venture for me is building relationships and building connections. The more people I meet and the more connections I make, the happier I am. I'm not focusing, this is not a transactional relationship for me. I know there's a transaction that transpires. It is a business at the end of the day, but I'm not in it for you get a session with me and you pay me a session and we move on. You have access to me 24/7 as we're working together. And even when we're done working together, you still have my number. I'd still love to grab coffee and move on. For me, I'm looking to build a community of support and people helping people. That's ultimately what matters. At the end of the day, we're known for the people we know and the experiences we have.
There you go. There you go. It's wonderful to have you on the show. We really appreciate your insights. Give us the .ca and where people can find you on the interwebs.
So www.boldmovescoaching.ca. You can also follow me at bold_moves_coaching on Instagram or Andrew Bollier on LinkedIn. Also on Facebook, I also believe it's bold_moves_coaching, same as Instagram. So those are my platforms. I'm also on YouTube. So you can also follow me on YouTube.
There you go. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com/ChrisFuss, LinkedIn.com/ChrisFuss, ChrisFuss1, the TikTokity, and ChrisFussFacebook.com. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. And we'll see you guys next time.